Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Tuesday night edition. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Great to have you along for the ride tonight. What have we got on tap? Mercy. Let's see. The ports thing. I've done some thinking about this. I'm not going to let go of the ports. This is entirely too important for us. You know, we the people, the United States, the Union. This is far, far too important. Way too important. So I think we need to talk a little bit about the continuing developments in that vein. And there are other things. Well, first of all, with the port issue, comes the fact that, well, the poor little ignorant right wing is coming apart at the seams. I mean, they don't know whether to or run rabbits. On the one hand, their dear leader says that, and he did it again today. He said, you know, if there's any legislation trying to block this deal, he will, his name's not Jumping George Bush, he will veto it. Despite the fact that he doesn't even know where his veto crayon is. But he'll veto any attempt to block this deal. And there are details out there, well, you can go and find them. Truthout.org has a number of stories on the ports deal, not the least of which is a continuing explanation of, you know, just what it is that Jon Snow and David Sanborn get out of all this. They're both former, well, you know, Snow is the Treasury Secretary. He's the former the CEO of CSX. And they had a nice, tasty little overvalued deal with Dubai Ports World. Yes, yes, yes. And David Sanborn. David Sanborn was their director of European and Latin American operations. Now he's going to be maritime commissioner. And he had a tasty little deal in the sale of the CSX line to Dubai Ports World. Hmm? It's bothersome. Truly, it is bothersome. And then there's this from the Jerusalem Post. Yeah, not exactly some raving liberal rag. The parent company, and see, this is why I say that the little wing nuts, they don't know whether to or run rabbits or fall back in it. Because, like I said, you know, Dear Leader is giving them their marching orders. But on the other hand, in order to follow Dear Leader, they're going to have to, violate some of those closely, dearly held religious principles. Now, aren't they? Yes, they are. The parent company of a Dubai-based firm at the center of a political storm in the U.S. over the purchase of American ports participates in the Arab boycott against Israel, the Jerusalem Post has learned. The firm, Dubai Ports World, is seeking control over six major U.S. ports, including those in New York, Miami, Philadelphia, and Baltimore. We now know that there are 21 separate operations involved in this filthy deal. And the report notes that, of course, Dubai Ports World is entirely owned by the government of Dubai via a holding company called the Ports, Customs, and Free Zones Corporation, PCZC. And that consists of the Dubai Ports Authority, the Dubai Customs Department, and the Jebel Ali Free Zone area. Sounds like something out of Star Wars. Now, Muhammad Rashid Adin is a staff member of the Dubai Customs Department's office. Man, they got a whole office for the boycott of Israel. I mean, this isn't just a bunch of dudes walking up and down outside somebody's embassy with some posters and singing the Arabic version of Kumbaya. This is, I mean, they got a governmental office. And it is, partially run by Muhammad Rashid Adin. The Dubai Customs Department's Office for the Boycott of Israel. Jeepers. He told the Jerusalem Post, if a product contained even some components that were made in Israel and you wanted to import it to Dubai, it would be a problem. It would be a problem. He noted that while the head office for the anti-Israel boycott site sits in Damascus, he and his fellow staff members are paid employees of the Dubai Customs Department, which is a division of the PCZC, the same Dubai government-owned entity that runs, you got it, Dubai Ports World. Now, poor little wingnuts. Poor little repiglicans. If you weren't such a bunch of hateful little cretinous monsters, I'd almost feel sorry for you right now because you must have, oh my God, you must have Excedrin headache number Avogadro's freaking number. This has really gotta hurt. You know, if a thought process could get through all the fat and cholesterol and triglycerides and stuff that runs up into Jerry Falwell's brain, he'd probably spontaneously combust. Brethren and sisters, it is our duty under the law of God Almighty as passed down by Moses on that Brokeback Mountain with his Ten Commandments. It is our duty to support the kingdom of the state of Israel. For yea, verily, the book telleth me that those who bless thee, I shall bless them, and though I shall curse them that curse thee. Brother Falwell? Looks to me like your buddy George is doing a little Israel cursing. Isn't he? Isn't that what it is? Isn't Dear Leader saying that he wants this deal with Dubai Ports World? He wants to sell our national security? He wants to sell our homeland security? Isn't that what he's saying, that he wants to sell that to the United Arab Emirates, another one of those groups that doesn't believe that Israel even exists, that given an opportunity would drive the Israelis into the sea? Isn't that the constant drumbeat coming from the weird and the bizarre and the snake-handling, poison-drinking, floor-rolling religious right? Isn't that their game? Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that is their game, isn't it? It's a full-time occupation for most of your Arab nations, that whole Israel-hating thing. You know, get up in the morning, say your prayers toward Mecca, and have a cup of coffee and hate Israel. That's the drill. Moreover, the Post found that the website for Dubai's Jebel Ali Free Zone area, which is also a part of the PCZC, advises importers that they will need to comply with the terms of the boycott. In a section entitled Frequently Asked Questions, the site lists six documents that are required in order to clear an item through the Dubai Customs Department. One of them, called a Certificate of Origin, is used by Customs to confirm the country of origin and needs to be seen by the office, which ensures any trade boycotts are enforced. Where are our right-wing Republican free market buddies? Mighty quiet out there in the free market zone. Hear the crickets? And, of course, you know that Dear Leader is pushing this, what was it, UEFTA, United Arab Emirates Free Trade Agreement, UAEFTA? Not very free, though, is it? We're going to, well, but I mean, you understand that when you're dealing with these backward nations, these classical tyrannies, classical dictatorships, they have no interest in the free market. This is the ultimate in market regulation. Oh, wait a minute. We've got a box of linguine over here, I think. Yep, there it is. There it is. There was one grain of wheat that was grown in Israel. Get it out of here. It violates the boycott. What are the little wingnuts going to do with this one?
But we love Israel, President Bush. You said you love Israel. I mean, you told them there in Jerusalem, you told them that God talks to you. And we believed you, George, our dear leader. Why are you doing this?
Well, he's doing this, you little wingnuts. Because he's a hypocrite and he loves money more than anything else. You know, that folding green stuff and the jingly metal stuff, that's his holy communion. It really, really is. So, you know, that's kind of where we are this evening. God knows I got a stack that we'll probably never even get to half of. But it ain't like we're not going to try. Oh, we're going to try, all right. All of us, together. If you want to jump into the program, you know how to do that. It's 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Charmouth, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you. Only the good die young. That's what I said. Only the good die young.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, he's gone?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Because liberals built America. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Have you seen that girl in the corner? I'd like to take her out of her chains. Cause if I had my way with you, baby, I wouldn't be changing your life today.
So we've got to start. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We've got to start toward an evening's discussion. At least I believe. I think this the business with the Dubai ports is a pretty good start. With the fact that yes, I mean we understand they're bigoted against the state of Israel. And before somebody thinks that I'm pretending to be a conservative tonight or something, no, we also understand that the state of Israel is bigoted against them. You know, just take your world map and everywhere that the Middle East, just eliminate the borders, eliminate all the borders, and take a big black crayon and just write bigotry land across it, okay? Because that's what it is. For God's sakes, it is bigotry land. Arabs hate the Jews hate the Arabs, everybody wants to kill somebody. There's blood feuds running around 1,000 years old. So we understand, I mean, that where it comes to the United Arab Emirates, we're doing business with bigots. But then again, we had to be dragged kicking and screaming away from the apartheid regime in South Africa too, didn't we? Did you notice that the president of Harvard resigned the other day because he was about to lose a humongous no-confidence vote because the faculty of Harvard, exercising a little bit of morality, wanted to divest Harvard's investments in Israeli businesses? I seem to recall a lot of that going on in colleges during the South Africa debate as well. You don't participate with, you don't invest, if you're moral, you don't invest in countries that engage in rank, open discrimination. And you know, the way the Israelis treat the Palestinians within their borders sort of falls within that rubric, doesn't it? And, but then, of course, if I was Harvard, I wouldn't want any stock in Dubai Ports World either if they're traded out there at all. I mean, they're owned by the government, for God's sakes. So how much stock could there be? But if there was, I wouldn't want to have my institution involved in it, because if you're moral, you don't do the bigotry trip. And you don't give people that do the bigotry thing your money. But I'm just crazy halfway to being a commie old socialist liberal, right? But the question is for the wingnuts. The question is, who are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to O'Reilly and get screamed down by him? Are they going to turn to Hannity or Flemball and expect them to stand up for America? My God, the right-wing hate echo chamber. Well, part of what they hate is the United States of America, in no uncertain terms. We all sort of get that now, don't we? So the right little wing nuts, the little Israel supporting wing nuts, they got nowhere to turn. Nowhere. Hannity job would chew them up and spit them out in a minute if they dared criticize dear leader. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, the right-wing echo chamber is in full-bore spin. Well, I think centrifugal force of the spinning is going to pull them apart. From Newsmax. Now, there's another one of those places if you wander by on the Internet, you got to run all your spyware and spam protectors and practically put a condom on your computer just to go there. It's just nasty. Newsmax. A terrorism expert has revealed a chilling scenario of just how jihadists could deeply penetrate Dubai Ports World, the embattled United Arab Emirates company that is poised to take over operations at many key U.S. maritime terminals. They're coming unglued. And of course, you know, some of these things that Dr. Waleed Fares is mentioning, they kind of have some validity, don't they? He says, first, the enemy will penetrate from the United Arab Emirates and, aided by Salafi or even Khomeinist sympathizers, this first line of defense could be breached by hiring elements to form a network inside the company or subcontracted hostile entities in the future. Geez, the terrorists are subcontracting. Second, while moving inside the layers of the management of the net, could then hire elements coming from the American side. If we project that jihadists are operating inside the U.S., a UAE company managing six main U.S. ports would be a first-rate opportunity for them to connect. Hence, one can project that once a network installs itself inside the corporation, it would be able to recruit U.S. citizens and residents who are sympathizers with or part of the movement. A bridge would thus be established between the outside cells and the inside cells through a perfectly legitimate outlet. The right wing doesn't have a clue what to do with all of this. Especially with George Bush out there saying that he will veto any attempt to protect America's ports or, you know, save America's ports for American companies or American workers. How about you? I mean, are you conflicted on this? You know, you're progressive, you're liberal, you're decent, you're hardworking, you're Democrats, Greens, that kind of person. We don't have any conflicts over this, do we? Because we don't feel any allegiance to George Bush whatsoever, because we know what George Bush is. He's a monster. We know that the Carlyle Group is neck deep in this deal. We know that this is cronyism of its highest or lowest form, depending on how you look at it. And we know that when you're dealing with a Bush, this is the kind of thing you come to expect. Isn't it? Of course it is. So we have no conflicts. We merely know that America must be protected. The Union must be preserved. Screw Homeland. The Union must be preserved, right? Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break. It's the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, your phone calls if you want, 877-443-2366, or email to bob@headonradio.com. There's a million ways to reach us. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I couldn't keep. Hi, I'm Linda Ellerby. Did you know that every 3 minutes another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-new, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options, and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. The first place to go the minute you find you have breast cancer, breastcancer.org.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Broadcasting live from a remote, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Minutes and change before the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone number, 877-443-2366. 877, the number for Head On. Your thoughts on the bigotry of the the continuing Arab boycott against Israel. Is that, where's James Dobson on this? Where is he? Nowhere to be found as far as I can tell. Neither's Falwell. Haven't heard anything from Robertson lately. Of course, I could have missed him today. But, you know, what's the right wing talking about? Well, I got an email from that weird little PR outfit that they're all thrilled about. Oh, what was it? The Supreme Court decision today. The one that said abortion protesters can protest, anti-abortion protesters, you know, anti-abortion, my left hind foot, anti medical, anti-medicine protesters. Because, you know, I mean, you realize it. Nobody has any business making somebody else's medical decisions for them. Not a legislator. Not a husband. Son, aunt, uncle, daughter, cousin, five times removed, whatever. Nobody. It's nobody. Medical decisions are made between the patient and the doctor, and that's it. But, you know, the Supreme Court said today, look, you pasty-faced, doughy, miserable, low-life scumbuckets, if you want to hang out outside the women's health care clinic and protest till hell freezes over, eh, you got a First Amendment right to. Now, meanwhile, of course, I had a story earlier in the week. A gentleman, I can't remember his name now, who was arrested and the Supreme Court refused to hear his case where, you know, his free speech rights were quelled and quashed and squashed and stomped on because he wanted to protest Dear Leader and wasn't willing to go to the free speech ghetto in South Carolina. That dude doesn't have First Amendment rights. Women's health care protesters, they do. They do. So, you know, that's what they're excited about. Let's see, the American Family Association, they're trying to get 1 million petition signatures in support of the hateful legislation that we mentioned last night coming out of South Dakota. Julie Bartling, so-called Democrat, leading the charge on this stupidity. So... That's where the right wingers are right now. Can't be bothered. Well, I mean, they can't really talk about the Dubai ports deal because it creates a real risk that their little tiny heads with their little tiny brains inside them will just go and explode just from trying to work out the anti-Israel rhetoric coming from the Bush administration in its pushing of this deal, trying to reconcile that with the fact that Dear Leader is a godly man who understands that the days of prophecy, yea, verily, hallelujah, praise Jesus, are upon us. And and their little heads spin around, and then gone. So, you're not going to hear a lot of talk about that out of the wingnuts. Let's do go to the phones. Peter is with us from Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm just disgusted with them. I'm just completely just gnaw on the furniture, bark at the moon, disgusted with them. You know, Bush did an interview on the ABC Evening News this evening, and it was lie after lie after lie. It was so predictable. You know, What is on my mind is I'm just conflicted by so many different trying to get a handle on understanding how you know. At first, I blame the media. The media is the problem. The media is not informing people, and then you know it's the churches, and I blame the churches. The churches are, you know, all got their heads stuck somewhere dark, and they're not looking at what's going on around them, and they're living in ancient history. But you know, I've decided. You know, a lot of these people who just, you know, we're just talking about in the chat room, there's still 34% of the population that apparently approves of everything the man is doing. Now, it seems to me that they must have this same incurious George gene that Bush has. It's got to be just the fact they don't care to know. I mean, because the truth is out there.
Well, could it be that the truth is out there, and they don't care to know? But you know, go ahead. I know it seems mean spirited, Peter, but take the next step. You know what they are.
Well, besides all the cuss words that just came to mind, yeah,
morons. They're morons. I feel so bad, Peter, because time is running out. If I could just come up with the right con, I could be a multimillionaire overnight with those 34% of Americans. If I could just,
you know, that's true, and those 34% that, you know, they have to be comfortably numb. If they were poor, if they had suffered, if they had been oppressed, they would be more aware.
Well, so no, some of them are poor, and you know, some of them are mortgaged to the hilt on their credit cards, and they're paying 19%, 20%, and 25% interest. And, well, Mildred, we'll have this paid down next month. No, you won't.
Yeah. And
they're poorer than what they know.
Well, this is true. It's sort of like the dysfunctional family that has someone who's a raging alcoholic and everybody else in the family attempts to cover up for it.
Yeah, enabling.
Right, yeah, and it's like that, that people's lives are falling apart in so many ways, and yet everybody puts this front on it. It was like that watching the evening news this evening. It's like, but we're, you know, everything's falling apart. You got the troops. There was just a Zogby poll where the troops, it was like 74%, 76%. Said that we shouldn't be over there, and there were not a hint of that, yet they're doing these little fluff stories doggies, and, you know, it's like everybody's just trying to act normal.
When we come back, we've got video of a little girl with an ice cream cone feeding a squirrel.
Well, this is true.
You know, but you're right. You say, I blame the media. I blame that we should. And we should demand better of them. But of course, you know, that's the problem. The professional media, like Joe Vecchio says, you know, they're invested in the success of George W. Bush. Because it means they never have to work again. They can sit and draw their pay and go out and do fluff stories about, you know what you see. It's every night. Sit down and compare, say, the BBC World News with, whatever Fox's evening show is, and see what the story lineup is, how it compares between the two. The difference will become apparent rather quickly.
Well, this plan that the Republicans have been working on for so many years was well thought out. It used to be we met in the community square. We talked to each other over the back fence. We met at the post office and chatted. What it's come down to is we meet on the news in the sense that we have some sort of common understanding of what's going on. We sort of meet there. We don't talk with each other, but we meet there. And then there's a huge number of people who meet in the churches. And the Republican plan all along has been to take over the life of the church and to take over the media. It started with the media part, started with what Reagan, with the repeal of the
fairness doctrine, sure.
Yes, the fairness doctrine. The one thing they didn't plan on, though, this ties into it. Do you know that the number of seniors who have jumped online, it has jumped 47% between the year 2000 and 2004. They are the fastest. Seniors make up the fastest growing group of internet users around.
That doesn't bode well for the other side, Peter.
No, it doesn't bode well. Nobody planned on the internet, but Bob, they're working on taking the internet over as quickly as possible.
Oh, I know they are. I saw a story today, China to launch second internet.
Yes, and China. We're about to do the same thing. It looks, I can almost see the writing on the wall.
Well, that's like, you know, we talk about, we've had great success with voiceover and internet stuff in producing our sister programs, All Things Reconsidered and Fourth Estate Radio. And, you know, the existence of Skype and Gizmo and some of those other Vonage, for heaven's sakes, absolutely drives the phone companies and the cable companies nuts.
Well, it does, and they want money for that too.
But yeah, they want to set up toll booths on the internet for all intents and purposes.
Yes, and what they're doing now is they're trying to play the bandwidth game. They want to give the bandwidth to the big corporate interests, which are the same interests that support the Bush administration, who own the Time Warners, who own the news anyway,
yeah,
and cut back on the bandwidth of people who are trying to. So what happens is, as people go online, they're going to find the big, flashy, fast stuff first, and you'd have to. So it's just a, you know.
And you'll have to go wandering into the internet ghetto to find the things that matter, the real news, among other things.
The real news.
Yeah. I saw a solicitation today. It's already begun, Peter. Verizon, for instance. Verizon is now selling. We have DSL for $35.95 a month, you know, whatever. Or we have DSL that's not quite as fast, and that's $14.95 a month.
Yeah, it's just a little bit better than dial-up.
Yeah, it's dial-up. That's what it is. You know, it's dial-up that stays on, and it's, you know, it's $15 a month. And it's, and that's, you know, that's the internet ghetto.
Oh my God, that's a horrifying thought, dial-up that stays on. I mean, you know,
No, I mean, isn't that what it is? I mean, if it's almost, if it's just a little bit faster than dial-up, but they're calling it DSL, you know, they're just asking you to pull the internet in through one of those straws that comes with one of those, you know, juice bags, you know, the little tiny ones that you can't even see through.
Very good way to put it. I never heard the expression dial-up that just stays on. It's a horrifying concept. Made my toes curl for a second there.
Those ungodly noise, bing, 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 bing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know, I just don't know. I'm just in one of those moods today where, you know, you just get so damn disgusted with and the only comfort I can take, and we're talking about the chat room a little while ago, is it just the when Bush was on television this evening, the lies are becoming more threadbare. It's easier to see through it, and I think that people are catching on. But you know, that there's still the voting machines issue. There's still so many. They've got so many cards up their sleeve. To where and you know, Bush doesn't care.
Well,
he doesn't care. They both don't have anything to run for.
Well, that story I barely touched on last night, the hissy being had by, you know, you can always make a little bit more money off Jesus. T-shirt maker uses Brokeback Mountain to assail gays.
Who did that?
A Florida company known for its faith-based clothing line. Sorry,
oh God.
Florida again, Peter. I apologize.
Oh God.
has begun distributing a T-shirt that uses Brokeback Mountain to condemn gays. The T-shirts, get this. This is just beautiful.
Okay.
The T-shirts depict an angry Moses. Is there any other Moses? I mean, did Michelangelo do a statue of Moses hanging out in the chaise lounge with a frou-frou drink and an umbrella in hand?
Yeah, Moses was always upset about something.
Yeah, depict an angry Moses on Mount Sinai looking down on a group of ancient Israelites. You know, this is the two for one. This is where the right wing Christians get to hate them some Jews and some gays. Looking down on a group of ancient Israelites and modern gay cowboys.
Oh, there were gay cowboys
who are dancing
to ride up.
Who are dancing around an idol of the biblical golden calf.
Oh, they are. I see. Well, you know.
But wait. You know, it's a Ginsu commercial, Peter. There's more.
Oh, God.
The caption on the T-shirts reads, quote, "In his anger, Moses," capital letters, "broke the two tablets of stone that the Ten Commandments were written on while walking," capital letters again, "back down the," capital letters again, "mountain." Get it? Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah. Brokeback Mountain. That's painful.
And then on the back of the T-shirt, the original Ten Commandments, "broke back on the mountain."
Good Lord.
And they're selling, you know, they're selling these things hand over fist to the, you know, to the bigots of the religion industry. Because, like I said, I don't know. I don't know how you reach out to these people. Sometimes, do you explain to them that every time you make a nickel on Jesus, it's like putting another little thorn in his crown?
Well, that's very true, and I have no clue how to reach out to them. There really is no reaching out because you can't reach out unless someone has a hand extended.
Yeah, you know, we reach out all the time and we draw back bloody stumps.
Yeah, precisely. They have their whole holding chainsaws.
Company CEO Rick Wade said in a statement, "The message is the same now as it was in the time of Moses, that God's covenant is broken with his people, God's heart is broken for his people, and that judgment is coming prior to the return of the Lord, which is soon."
Yeah, it's the same old trick. Look over here. Don't ignore the man behind the curtain.
The company's
trick. It's been played for so long.
The company's products are sold in Christian stores across the country and marketed under the slogan, "Take your faith out of the closet and put your clothes back in."
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, God.
I'm horrified. I guess, you know.
Those are the moments, Peter, when I just envision all the little demons down in hell jumping up and down on the great big bellas saying, what's this cat's name again? "Hey, Daddy." Rick Wade's going to be here in a while. Shall we heat it up a bit?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a word in the Ten Commandments about, well, apart from the coveting part. And, you know, that's kind of a straight issue.
Well, yeah, I hate to even go to the whole biblical argument about any of that. You know, the thing still stands about slavery too. In fact, the Bible does condone slavery, and that was why the Baptists split off into the Southern Baptists, because they were very upset and hanging on to the passages that said having slaves was okay, just be a happy slave. But as people grow, as they're supposed to, what we have realized is that what's immoral is using those passages to condone it.
Or hurt people.
Right, right. And the Bible didn't change. It'll never change. Well, except for one modification after another over the years.
Yeah, those translation issues.
Yeah, the translation issues. But in general, the Bible won't change. But we change, and that's what we're supposed to do as human beings. We're supposed to change and grow and learn. But, some people just still cling on.
Well, they're growing and learning over at this clothing outfit, Peter. They've grown and they've learned that they can make a buck by depicting ancient Israelites and modern gay cowboys dancing together.
God, that's a match made in hell.
I mean, what is that? Hava Nagila, yeehaw!
Oh, God, Bob, I can't. I can't even go there.
I shouldn't have. Shame on me.
Too scary.
But, again, it goes. It's the bigotry thing I was talking about a little bit ago, Peter. The Jews hate the Arabs. The Arabs hate the Jews. The Hindus hate the Muslims. The Muslims hate the Hindus. On and on and on and on. But just, why can't we get all? I mean, never mind George the Third or whatever. I guess technically he's our third president named George. Never mind George the Third. Let's go back to George the First. And what was that advice he gave us in his farewell address? Avoid foreign entanglements. There's a segment of the world that would just do not go here. Abandon hope. Who all ye who enter here? Here be monsters.
Well, it's true.
Just put it on the map and stay the hell out.
Yeah. Well, I just have no answers this evening. It's just
there aren't any,
all
Peter.
Kind of overwhelming.
There are no answers. But the thing is, if we can just hold, hold the spotlight up on these people and recognize who they are for what they are, somebody somewhere along the way may notice the light that's on them and go, "Ooh, those are creepy. Those are creepy, crawly little things."
Well,
and understand that you stay the heck away from them.
Yeah. Well, The taking over the internet aspect is going to be very important, because one of the problems we have these days is the older generation tends to remain so uninformed about the things that people who are on the internet know about, and as everyone today uses computers every day in their workplace, so you're going to have eventually end up with a civilization where everybody's comfortable using a PC, and so the only answer is to try to take that over, too, but I think they may have...
Well, not everyone will be comfortable using a PC, Peter.
Well,
you're leaving out the Mac people.
Oh, well, that's...
No bigotry here.
No bigotry. It's not that I don't love them. It's just that I don't, personally know any. They're like gay folk,
I mean, oh, you're going to get me in trouble. You're going to get me in trouble.
I know I'm going to get in trouble when I get back to the room, too. They're all going to be raging, but, I didn't mean to go there.
But, no, I took you there. See, it's my fault.
You are a bad person.
Hey, Peter, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, Bob. Have a good evening.
You too. Say hi to everybody in the chat room for us.
Yes, sir, will do.
Bye. All right, bye now. Oh, goodness me. Let's see. We're coming up on the top of the hour. I don't want to put somebody on and then make them hold through the break or anything like that. So we'll come back to your phone calls, 877-443-2366. We're a little early for the bumper music, dear. It's not quite 5 till. It's all right. 877-443-2366, but I did like the sound of that. 877, the number 4, Head On. Bob at Head On Radio is the email address. We just heard, just got an email in from, yes, dear? Email in from our friend Andrew in New York. Says, just dropping a line on W's Dubai retirement plan. This deal smacks of cronyism in its purest form. The mere thought that the United States of America would sell port control while at war to a country that has publicly known credible and documented facts of ties to bin Laden, worldwide terrorism, anti-Semitism, and human degradation is just plain stunning. This is a hard problem for the Republican wannabes to reconcile. I think their heads may implode from all the spin. Yeah, I'm right there with you, Andrew. The Republican Party look like deer in front of head-on with Bob Kincaid. The non-wealthy fundies are asking themselves, who did I vote for again? He says, Bob, Agnes, and head-on listeners, have a good night. You too, Andrew, and thank you so very much. On the one hand, you almost feel a little guilty watching these poor little wing nuts suffer this way. It's the definition of tragedy when you see the light go on someone who has been betrayed. And that's what's going on with especially the moral values voters. You know, the ones for whom the only things worth voting about in America are God, gays, and guns. And abortion. Don't forget abortion. So now that they're faced with the very essence of their core values just being taken out and given a righteous stomping, it would your heart, because we're liberals, you know, because the bleeding heart liberals, because we are what we are, our first inclination is to think, oh, poor little guys, oh, you feel so bad for them getting betrayed and everything. And then you sit back and you think about the things that they did during the last election cycle, and you go, ha-ha, suckers, this didn't happen to you. Baby, you earned it. We saw this betrayal coming a long way off. You didn't, but we did, because we knew that betrayal is what Bushes do best. Whether it's the trust placed in you by your country when you're in the Texas Air National Guard and you betray that to go off whoring around and getting all coke and drinking Mexican gasoline down there across the border, whether it's that or betraying stockholders with Harkin Energy and Spectrum 7. Or whether it's betraying people who have lived on the same land for 150, 200 years in Texas because you want, by God, a new ballpark. There's no end to the betrayal that a Bush is capable of. And the thing is, we knew it. They could have known it. They refused to see it. You know, what's that old saying? There are none so blind as those who will not see. That's what we're dealing with here. So, no, while my first inclination as a liberal is to say, oh, poor baby, you know, and give them a popsicle and send them on their way to, you know, sulk in the corner or something. Uh-uh. No, this medicine you take without the sugar in front of it. This is a bitter pill you wing nuts are going to have to swallow all by yourselves. Because you did it to yourselves, you did it to us, and you have earned every nasty moment of it. And you get no sympathy, not from me. All right, let's try that really groovy bumper music again there, dear. And we'll come back after the break. The phone number, jump on in. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Shine inside.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Martin Sheen. When I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, I had an unforgettable mentor who believed in me and encouraged me to pursue my dreams. Today, there are millions of children across this country waiting for a mentor to help them. Improving the world starts with one child. Please, become a volunteer mentor for Mentoring USA. Give children the chance to develop and flourish and share in the future that belongs to them.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, let's crank up a second hour. What do you say? The phone number is 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. And, you know, you guys are getting a reputation as being some of the, well, we truly are succeeding in this game of reinventing talk radio, conversation radio. Getting emails. Talking about, it's fascinating because people are responding and talking about how exciting it is to hear the people I'm calling extraordinary Americans finally getting an opportunity to express themselves for more than 30 to 45 seconds. Megadetto's Rush, that's right, you know. And it goes hand in hand with my ongoing theory that progressive talk radio will thrive by avoiding the Republican model of talk radio like the freaking plague. Let's do go back for some of that great conversation. Rick is with us from Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, you almost stole some of my thunder.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah.
I beg pardon.
I wanted to wish Mega Dildos to Rush. You know, you're doing a great job, fella. Hey, taking a couple more.
Yeah.
Has it ever bothered you or any of the other listeners that a guy that said that he was taking handfuls of these hillbilly heroin?
Yeah, OxyContin. Yeah, we know it well.
Yeah, I mean, I've had it. It's terrible stuff. It's junk. But anyway, he was taking handfuls of it, sending his maid out to get it, and he said he was in intractable pain.
Yes.
Because of his back.
Right.
Now, I have suffered since I was 23 years old with a broken back.
Oh, my God.
And recovering, and things recently have caused it to be aggravated, and I'll need surgery soon. But I'm bringing this up for a reason.
Okay.
In this cottage industry of AA, AAA, and what is it now? They got one for drugs, too.
NA.
Yes, NA, and all that. They always tell the proletariat that you must be 100% honest or you'll end up drugging or drinking again.
That's bedrock principle.
Yes, you must go through all the steps and come out a different person, or you will end up drugging or drinking again.
Right.
You even are sometimes advised to worship tables or other things as your higher power.
Right. Yeah, if you can't do the God thing, the Allah thing, the Yahweh thing, then a styrofoam coffee cup can be your higher power.
That's right. But the most important factor is that you are totally honest and that you support and endorse no causes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's their bumper sticker.
Right.
Now let's go on to Rush Limbaugh, who had intractable pain and sucking down hillbilly heroin like it was
to the point M&M. to the point that it drove him deaf.
Yes, to the point that it drove him deaf.
I mean, no,
and I got a funny story about that.
Yeah, but I mean that you do recognize, Rick, that is a symptom of profound opiate abuse. I mean, it's medically.
Well, I've been forced to take him for quite some time, and I'm not deaf yet.
No, but
and
you're
I've
not
been
a you're
rock and roll bands for 20 years.
Then you're not abusing it either, Rick. I mean,
no, I take exactly what's prescribed each day.
Right, but you know when you're sitting there grinding up the OxyContins for the refreshing burst of flavor, it's a different story.
Although I have to admit, sometimes I'm tempted to try that.
Yeah,
but you know,
well, real pain will real temptation. No, that's not temptation. That's an attempt at trying to get pain free. I mean, I knew this guy who was a trial lawyer, a darn fine one, and he said it stuck with me. Pain is a picture window into hell.
Yeah, it is. It's really tough. I mean, I've even looked at, you know, I called up 411 and said Kevorkian, Dr. Kevorkian. you know, and you can't find a listing for them. But the point of the matter is the thing I want to point out here is that they tell the proles, all of us, that we have to do all these things, but yet these suckers here, like Limbaugh, can come back after 28, 30 days and be so cured. You know what? I've done a lot of research on this. They actually can now anesthetize these people and take them through their withdrawal. They're out like a light for like 3, 4, 5 days in this like deliberate coma.
So they don't have to watch the pink elephants fly.
That's right. They're actually in the same type of setting as an anesthesiologist would do in a hospital. And then they turn, and there's some kind of drug out there, and I wish I could remember its name, but they're feeding it to all these rich guys, that will literally turn around and thwart your addiction and make you whole again, where you can actually indulge but never want it like you did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I will look it up after I get back from the hospital, God willing. I will look this up, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. And all these very, very expensive rehabs are offering this to the start.
Yeah, I mean, that's not for your average street dude living under the bridge drinking
like
the screw top wine.
Thousands of dollars for this process. But anyway, they do this. But so then they come back. Let's take Rush Limbaugh again as an example, and are just as mean, just as rotten, just as dishonest as they were before. And guess what? We have to assume that he's not back on drugs because he seems just fine.
Well, okay. See, I kind of go in the opposite direction, but we'll stay for the purposes of your.
He seems like he was back in the 80s.
Yeah, just as mean, just as hateful, just as ugly, just as rotten.
Indulging, but not over the top, which is exactly what that drug promises.
Well, but see, the whole thing was founded upon a fraud, Rick. Because now, I mean, you say that you've had chronic back troubles for going on 20 years and more. Let me ask you this. You know, with that kind of pain, are you up for a round of 18 holes of golf once a day for 3 days at, say, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am?
No. In all actuality, today I received my Century DVD, CDD, CV, or whatever you call it, CD organizers, and they're stackable, and I had the data entry, every single CD and DVD into it. And it took hours and hours, plus update some RAM on some other systems. And I was floored. I was over with. I was done. And I was walking 3 steps to these things.
Well, yeah, and see, the reason I ask you that, Rick, is because in the midst of talking about this debilitating pain that he had that manifested itself in his need to abuse street drugs, because after all, when you're not getting them by prescription anymore, I don't care if they're OxyContin, oxycodone, hydrocodone, whatever, when you're not getting them by prescription anymore, they're just plain old street drugs.
Personally, I would have put downs in the smoked dope myself.
Well, yeah. But then again, I think, well, never mind. but the whole point here is, in the midst of all this debilitating pain, this guy is going to pro-am golf tournaments.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm a golfer. And
are you really?
Yeah, not a very good one, but just from the body motions, the spinal twisting that goes on. If you've got debilitating back or neck or lumbar pain, you ain't playing golf.
No, you're not. And then that you're
he's right a junkie.
You're right on top of it. I'm just trying to make a simple point to all of my fellow proles out there, is that if you've got an issue with a substance or if you're in some kind of straits like that, do not listen to these people. You can find it within yourself or find a neighbor or find a family member. Somebody can help you through it. But it is like all things. You have to want to quit. Hell, I smoke 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. They're Camel filters. And when I want to cut down the lights, I smoke Marlboro Reds. And I've tried quitting, you know.
God, you're hardcore.
Yeah, year after year. Well, I went to a reform school up in New York when I was 13 years old. And this reform school was called Berkshire Farm for Boys. And what they did was, is they put you immediately to work inside their buildings. And they paid you just enough to buy cigarettes from them, which they sold at their store. And I immediately got hooked.
Oh, sure.
At that time, at my age, you have to understand the Marlboro man was the man. He was on TV and everything else and all the cigarette commercials, and plus I was in this reform school setting where all the tough guys, you know, they smoked the cigarettes, and so if you wanted to be somebody,
you carry them rolled up in the sleeve of your T-shirt, and
yeah. Sure, all that stuff. So that's how I started, and it's been 37 years now. And I've tried stop. I've used patch. Matter of fact, the patch people, I called them up. I had all these burns all over my body, right?
Yeah.
I kept putting these patches on. I lasted 6 weeks. And then when I finally stepped down and went to the lower patch, my friend was standing next to me over the hood of a car, and he was smoking a cigarette. Next thing I know, I said, can I have one of those? So it doesn't work. You got to have a mindset. You got to really
want
to do it.
I mean, I've always said that where my nicotine habit is concerned, Rick, I'm going to have to take 6 weeks. And I need a nicotine Betty Ford Center is what I need.
I knew you smoked. I could tell by your voice.
Oh, darn.
I could tell because you had that residence. We do get that residence from smoking.
Yeah, there is some good.
I mean, if I wanted to turn around and take my training from the New School of Contemporary Radio, I would say, it's all right, Bob. It's just the way it is. It's the news, and that's what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all were told in broadcasting school, oh, smoking helps your residents, although I was already there, you know.
Yeah.
Because I've been smoking for so long. But I do want, you know, I don't want to take anybody else's caller time. And hey, Pete, how you doing? And I missed the beginning of the show, so I don't know who else had called. But I just wanted to point that out, is that this cottage industry that surrounds all of us proles, or proletariats, and then what they really have, all the medical treatment, all the care that they really have for everything under the sun, they are lying to us, and they're using us, and we're playing their game. Stay away from it. Don't dare walk into a room where some crazy person, well, I tried this one. I walked in, and there was a guy standing there saying, I am a grateful alcoholic. Now, I wasn't an alcoholic in the sense I would bender, and then I gave it up about 5 years ago. But you know, I was concerned about myself, so I said, well, I'm going to go visit these meetings. But when I heard a guy being grateful to be an alcoholic, the first thing that came to my mind was, that's like saying you're grateful you have cancer. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
And then I noticed that all they did was just sit there and think about it all day long. And talk about it.
Yeah,
I had guys wanting to take me to like three meetings a day and all that kind of stuff. So,
sure.
And all I do is...
And there are people out there that say it has saved their lives. And you know what? I don't doubt it.
Well, yeah, I think there's probably some truth to that. But, I mean...
But the thing is, what saved their lives was their willingness to do the work.
Yes. And that's, you know, that's exactly what I was talking about. It comes with the cigarettes. It'll come with these pills that they get. I mean, I'm on oral morphine, for Pete's sakes. I'm going to be facing something if I survive this. But, I mean, the point is that it will come down to your choices. And I was able to give up the booze, and I was able to do that for 5 years. But, I mean, just don't buy into this type of – they have more out there. And Rush Limbaugh is the proof that they have far more out there. Because if he can do what he's doing and be just as ugly and just as mean and lie just as much, I would say that, and stay sober or managed, whatever he's doing,
yeah.
I would say everything you're telling all the addicts is a lie.
I think you make a great point, Rick, because the fact of the matter is the guy is no different than what he was, and, you know, I make jokes about how, you know, I swear that we won't do impaired radio. And so, I don't get the scotch bottle out or anything like that on the air or, you know, and anything else along those lines because it's important to me. And the fact of the matter is, you know, as someone who has consumed some alcohol from time to time in your life, you know that booze will tell you, you're sounding great.
Yeah, right. Well,
and the rest of the world is hearing a drunk.
I am perfectly conscious of the fact that I am loaded on these new as Avarins or Advisins or whatever they are. These new, I wasn't even going to call because I like to be very tight when I call. But, I mean, if I did that, then what if I die in getting my operation? I would have wasted these 4 days. So I decided to call it while I was stoned on this damn oral morphine.
Well, you're doing okay, though. But I remember when...
I'm drinking a lot of coffee.
Shocking.
I mean, I had to switch... I'm drinking so much coffee, I switched to 50-50 so I wouldn't chatter so much.
Gear down.
Gear down, baby. Well, hey,
all right, take it easy, Rick. So good to talk to you. Please.
I'm glad to talk to you, and hello to everybody out there. And keep calling and keep doing. And Andrew and Andy, keep calling. You guys are great. And Bob and everybody. Don't hold back. Come on, boys.
Thanks, Rick.
Time's wasting.
All right.
We'll see you now.
Later.
All right, bye.
Bye now. I never like hearing it when our friends say, and then there's the surgery. I worry. So, you know, if you're the praying kind, put Rick in him. If you're the meditating kind, send him some meditate. If you're into Vodan, good juju. Whatever you do, do it for each other. Uh-oh, this is turning into a sermonette. I better quit. Gene is with us from Oregon. Hey, Gene, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Okay, did I hear my computer mentioned? You sound better, by the way.
Well, thank you.
On the phone. You sound clear. Just a real quick, a couple of things. Actually, a couple of quick headlines of the story and a joke, maybe.
Okay.
You did see in Rossbury where the Patriot is going to get passed on Wednesday?
That's the looks of things, yeah.
Oh, crud. Well, I tried... Darn.
Yeah, well, that's okay because my senator, Robert Byrd, has come out and said he regrets voting for it in the first place.
Oh-ho.
You know, that I just love it when they come out and say, sure do regret letting all them horses out before we burnt the barn.
Mm-hmm.
It, oh, God. But, yeah, it's not an inspiring proposition, is it?
Well, between that and the food labeling thing... Who needs nuclear bombs when we can just get food poisoning or something?
Well, sure. I mean, and you know, I don't know. Share, if you don't mind, tell people a little bit about the food labeling thing, because I've read it, but I haven't touched on it yet.
Well, Thursday, the House of Representatives is due to consider legislation that would exempt food companies from having to list all the ingredients in their foods or something like this?
Yeah, that was my understanding.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, it's got a catchy title. I forget what, like, you know, the Fair Food Labeling Act or something like that. Does that strike you as...
A little willing, yeah.
Yeah.
And but the kicker about that is I think it doesn't it supersede all state law?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and so, you know, it doesn't matter what any other state said. Once, you know, Congress has the power under constitutional doctrine to declare that that a federal law will supersede state laws, and this is one of those instances.
You know, when I was taking government back in high school, I remember the government teacher specifically telling me that, federal laws for things like food were basically, they set the minimum standard. If you had a better state law, you had to comply with the state law. Now they've got that reversed.
Yeah, pretty much. You're absolutely right, because the goal, these people who are in power, Gene, are destroyers. I mean, I hate to use, you know, just generic terms like that, but there is nothing governmental that they don't want to tear down, rip apart, and put asunder. And that's what you see in this food labeling business. This argument that's being put forward by Big Pharma that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, just letting the free so-called free market run wild, and, you know, setting prices outside the realm of the ability of ordinary human beings to even purchase them. It's Jim Hightower calls it kleptocracy, and I think
yeah.
He's right.
That, which kind of brings me into the story I was going to tell you. A couple of days after I got back from my conference the last time I called you,
uh-huh.
I was, one of the reasons I haven't been calling is my power chair has been in the shop. I was driving home at night on Thursday of that week, mm-hmm. and my wheel fell off driving down the road.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a little scary. But here's the thing that was really the scary part is here I am, I'm probably about 3 blocks from my house. and I'm in Hillsborough city limits. I'm along the highway, but it's a, you know, it's got a car dealership and there's a whole bunch of little shops around. And so I called 911 looking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept getting this funky sound. Well, I looked down at the phone and it said the network was busy. Now, this is a Thursday night around 11 o'clock and the network is busy for 911.
Hot
now,
times, yeah, hot times in Hillsboro.
Yeah, and here's the thing that's really scary about it. It's like six months ago, I rolled off into a ditch at the other chair, and I called 911. It was dark. It was, you know, I couldn't see. It was maybe a little earlier, but still, and I could get right through. Now, it might be a dead zone, but I don't think I'd get a funky sound if it was a dead zone.
Now that boo-doo-doop.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So I'd like to know if anybody else has been noticing their 911 service has not been so great of late.
I think it's probably not just you, Gene, because that's something we're going to see as we watch doctrines of the Bush administration come to full fruition. That, you know, that's another one of those government programs. 911. I mean, there are Republicans out there that see, you know, that there ought to be some private 911 company out there. You remember when Rick Santorum tried to sneak that bill through the Senate that would have made it illegal for the National Weather Service to do the weather?
Oh yeah,
I mean
yeah.
This is the way they think. You know that you know a 911, an emergency notification system, is a burden on society.
Well, given what they're trying to do with the internet, like Pete brought up earlier, I was thinking, oh geez,
yeah,
I could see this happening.
Yeah, the internet ghetto. They're building it right now.
And there was that whole thing about the guy last week that they got hurt because he called the fire department at some place back east and they wouldn't put out his fire because he hadn't paid his fire dues or something like this.
Oh, we are fast approaching third world nation status, Gene.
Oh, yeah.
There's no getting around it.
Oh, yeah. So it's you
but
know,
your chair is fixed and out of the shop?
No, it's still in. I've been hoofing.
Oh, brother.
So I've been moving pretty slow, which is why I haven't really been home. Of late, I'm packing now because I'm getting ready to move.
Oh no! Is everything okay?
Oh yeah, actually this is good because I'm moving to a place that's like 3 blocks from the light rail service here.
Oh,
so
wonderful!
So I don't have to worry about taking the bus and all this jazz. I tried driving back in the 80s. I should have known I couldn't do it when I got hit the day after I got my license.
That, well, you know that's a message.
Yeah, that really is. But anyway, here's the quick joke.
Okay.
Bush and Cheney, they're, you know, it's the next morning, it's the early morning, and Cheney says, "Mr. President, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but we had this bombing raid in Iraq, and we killed 2 Brazilians." And Bush says, "Oh, that's horrible. How many is in a Brazilian?" A conservative told me that one.
Oh God, I love that one. I love that one. Gene, thanks so much, man. And I hope things come back from the shop okay.
Oh, I'm sure eventually.
Okay. Well, you take care.
Bye bye.
Bye now. And let's see, quick break. And when we come back, more of your phone calls. 877-443-2366. I like this little worldwide conversation we've got going on. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering. Pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORAKID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway...
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
I'm such a product of the 80s. I can never hear this song without seeing the Eurythmics standing out there with that cow. There was profound power that was discovered in music videos. And of course, this thing was just weird. I'm sorry, dear. The video was weird. I'm not saying anything about Annie Lennox. I'm talking about the weird video with her playing a cello next to a cow. Okay, so, you know, 26 minutes in front of the hour. We're halfway through with tonight. Let's do go to the phones. Bob is with us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hello, Bob.
How are you, Bob?
Oh, Hey, guess what?
What's that?
Does anybody know what's going on across the globe?
Whereabouts?
Oh, Afghanistan.
Something new? As opposed to the daily, you know, day in, day out grind of slaughter, death, damnation, and misery?
How about an Abu Ghraib you've never heard of?
Oh, are we talking about the airbase at Kandahar or Kabul?
Yes, and more and more and more.
Interesting you should bring that up, Bob, because we were keeping prisoners in those big container ship containers.
No, we were putting people in those big container ship containers to kill them.
Well, that's right. I mean, yeah.
And they're keeping people in wire cages.
Sure.
I mean, no. Hey, and the conditions are worse than Abu Ghraib. you are living in a world tipped upside down from reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you're being fed like a mushroom in the basement.
Yep. Keep you in the dark and feed you nothing but boop, that word we can't say.
Or poop and, yeah, and nothing else, you know. You're being fed lies and lies and lies. And the funniest thing is that the mushrooms are sprouting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. I was talking to my daughter today.
Yeah.
She's down there in Nebraska in a place where they dig that coal out of the ground. You know, they just strip mine.
Yeah, just
you know, you blow the tops off your hills down there.
Yeah, out there they dig pits.
Out there they destroy acres upon acres upon acres.
Well, right. That's why I was thinking of you last night, Bob, when we were talking about
Montana.
Yeah, Montana. That's, I mean, you're just about where you could throw a rock and hit some of that neighborhood.
No. If the wind's out of the east, I can spit hit Montana.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just step out my.
And they're talking about the eastern third of the entire state of Montana as one big coal field.
Yep. It is. We have lignite coal up here. People don't know what lignite. Most people think about that bituminous coal.
Bituminous or the anthracite fields of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, real hard coal. Yeah?
Anthracite's real hard. Bituminous is so-called soft coal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's still, no, hey, lignite is it's dirty coal. You burn it, you get a lot of ash, you get a lot of all that sulfides and sulfates and all that stuff into the air.
Right.
Okay. And they put scrubbers in these big towers to burn it so they can, you know, use it for making electricity.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But cost too much to put them scrubbers in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll go out of business if they got to. Yeah.
Yeah. If they got to meet those. And that's why Minnesota is being, the trees are dying from acid rain.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you're kind of lucky there on the East Coast, because most of the acid rain goes up there, I guess it's up there in Vermont.
Yeah, we blow it up toward New England and into Canada.
Yeah. And it kind of, it just kills our trees, because it don't kill anything that's really worthwhile that can make oxygen that you can breathe. You know, it's kind of like poison in the oceans, because you guys pour it out over the oceans, then it drops into the oceans, and the oceans got more acidic.
And kill the fish, and sure.
No, you kill the plankton.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then the fish starve.
Yeah, well, no.
I was
you
skipping a step.
You kill the plankton. You kill the, what does plankton make? Plankton makes more oxygen.
Well, sure, okay, yeah.
On this planet.
Yeah.
Plankton makes the air that we breathe. In fact, they make more air than, oh, gosh, I guess a couple of Brazilians, huh? No. Think about it.
I know.
Rainforest of Brazil and cutting down the mahogany trees, and you're dragging them out here so that somebody can have some mahogany floor? Yeah? You can't. You know, you cannot give back to Mother what she's given to you.
Well, and Mother and bear Earth. In mind, they have no intention of giving anything back to Mother Earth.
No, because if you kill Mother Earth, what do you kill?
Us. All of us.
You kill every living creature. Yeah. And see, they can't give up this idea of this omnipotence.
Well, I bring up that metaphor or that image for me, Bob, and I'm reminded there was a Mexica goddess, some people call them the Aztecs, and I think the goddess's name was Coyolxauhqui.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But part of that myth was she was a mother goddess, and her children chopped her to bits.
Mm-hmm.
In that mythology. It's the same cycle coming around again.
No. It's not it's the end times, because we have, you know, we're denigrating our mother. Bob, I know how much you love yours.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear it in your voice. I hear it in Agnes. I, how much you love your father. You love the parents, the ones that brought you to life.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? We, all humans, have been lulled into this strange place, okay? One where we disconnected with nature. We have no connection to the land. I mean, most people don't even, they can't remember growing one living thing.
That's why we do the garden here every year, Bob.
Oh, that's...
I mean, I want my children to at least know what it looks like when the seed comes up out of the ground and does what seeds do, and, you know, the corn and the beans and whatever.
But what miracle brings that about? We don't understand enough about nature, I was thinking on these, I was listening today, and I was thinking about this linear thing. They talk about time in a linear thing. It's not. Time is not in line. It's kind of like it goes out in many, many strings. And
yeah, it's a
everything
web.
Everything that we do
yeah.
or say, everything that every human being does connects and affects all other living beings within the whole spectrum, not just this tiny little speck of dust in space.
Now, I agree with you, and that's our buddy CB out in California will be thrilled to hear you say that, Bob, because
that's a very
Buddhist approach to the world, understanding that everything impacts everything else. Everyone, you know, all life touches all other life.
Exactly, and. You got to first give up self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
because,
the teaching.
Okay. I give myself to you and to Agnes and to your family, and I give you all of me. I don't hold it back. It's kind of like Andrew in New York. You know, he puts his soul into it. I mean, his being is
well.
There.
That's you know.
It's
that's
like
that's the little amazing thing about this whole program, Bob. Is I am blessed with people that I carry a conversation on with every evening, or you know every other evening, whatever. Who really do pour their heart and their soul into what they're saying, what they're talking about, what they're trying to inform on, and it's unlike any experience that I have ever had before. It truly is, and you know it's not those people that. I mean, hopefully there will be some world changing go on. The people that we got to be careful of, the people that are really you know harming us. You know, I hate to goon on Democrats, but you know this Brian Schweitzer out in Montana that says we can take one third of his state and just dig it into a coal pit and have done with it. That's not going forward. That's going backwards.
Just sad little man, isn't he?
Well, I mean, but no, he was
the
white hope of the Democratic Party when he got elected, Bob.
Oh, goodness. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, I live with pain every day. I take no pain medication. I will not accept it. I figure that's part of what makes me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when the pain becomes too unbearable to bear... then I will give up or surrender this mortal coil. But I will not surrender to the use of, I do take a few medications to keep my ticker pumping and stuff like that. I'm hoping, no, I can't pray for it because I do not pray to a deity for a specific thing. I believe that, yes, this creation that we call the universe, okay, is just too perfect. Spheres move around spheres. Galaxies move around these mysterious things that they call black holes.
Mm-hmm.
And universe, it expands, it grows. It
breathes.
You know, it's just that thought that I'm not even a speck of dust.
Exactly. There's a website out there called I've got it saved in my favorites, and every time I start feeling terribly self-important, I go and have a look. It's called Pale Blue Dot.
Goodness gracious! I thought you were so important.
You're
important, Bob.
Well, no. Every time I start,
self-important.
Yeah, self.
You're not self-important. You're important to.
But I go and I look at this thing because this pale blue dot is a photograph taken by, I think it was the Voyager spacecraft, literally on its way out of the solar system, Bob,
mm-hmm.
and looking back at home.
Mm-hmm.
And this pale blue dot in a whole bunch of nothing.
Yep.
No bigger than the head of a pin.
Mm-hmm.
That's us.
No.
That's us. It is, Bob. That's us. That's this whole planet. That's all the billions of little ant-like creatures scurrying around and killing each other and not killing each other and having babies and not having babies and living and dying. All in a little bitty dot, no bigger than the size of a pin.
Ant-like creatures. No, we're not ant-like creatures. We're not even ants, because ants work in a colony and they work for the good of the colony. We are the most destructive. We're more like a virus.
Well, that's what Kurt Vonnegut says we are.
Yes, we are more like a virus.
He says we are a virus upon this planet, and the planet is in the process of rejecting us.
Okay. Now. If we have this great intellect that we can expand our minds out into the universe, okay, and we can look at things in different lights, how about bringing it back and looking at ourselves? No, each individual look at themselves. See, that's what we can do as Democrats. We examine our lives. We examine our universe. We examine everything around us.
Yeah, we even try to examine what's going to be here when we're not.
Well, yes, we do. But the problem with Republicans, okay, is that they do not see anything other than they are the center of the universe.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bob, because, you know, in that old fable of the ant and the grasshopper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're the ants, and the Republicans are the grasshoppers, because they just consume everything in sight. Everything that they can get their hands on, they want to take. They want to own. They want to consume. They want to eat. They want to burn. They want to destroy.
And we want to give back to Mother.
Yeah.
We want to nurture her and love her and sustain her and keep her in perfect health. And that's
there are some scientists out there that say that we're past the point of no return, Bob, where global warming, global climate change is concerned. It's going to happen because we've let it go on for too long.
Did we let it go on, or were we dragged into this thing?
It's a combination of both of them, Bob.
Right.
You know, there are people out there who think, you know, goodness me, we've got to save the environment, and yet we'll walk out of a room and leave the light bulb burning.
I have a friend served in that ugly place where I grew up, and he put it most profoundly to me. He said, "I hate being chumped."
Yeah.
Okay? And guess what? Most Americans, in fact, all Americans, every one of us, have been chumped. Okay?
Yeah, to one degree or another. You're absolutely right.
We've been used, and we've been, hey, when you were, hey, I know you were born with two left feet. I saw that. Or at least maybe one right and one left, but you rejected the right one.
Yeah.
But that's why you can't dance. And I feel sorry for Agnes that you can't dance, because guess what? I got two left feet, too.
Makes it tough on Glenda.
And, no, well, she won't dance with me.
She wised up over the years, Bob.
I've been to fancy balls, and I've stood between, I used to say, princes and kings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they're princes of this world and kings in their own mind. And they're always jealous of what someone else has. And jealousy is a green, ugly beast that like you said, consumes everything, like that grasshopper.
Yeah.
It consumes, and it consumes, and it gives nothing back. And guess what? I get up in the morning, if there's a nightlight on in the house, I shut it off.
Right.
I do not use any more than what I absolutely necessarily need to get through this day. And I hope, and I would say that I pray, because I don't pray on my knees with my hands clapped together.
Yeah, I know.
I pray with my heart.
Right.
And I don't pray to a deity for special gifts for me.
No, yeah, that's just silly.
Or even for my family, or for your family, for that matter. I pray deep in my soul that each and every human being will open their eyes and look out beyond themselves and just gaze upon on all the wonderment. I mean, I've seen too much death in my life, and mm-hmm. I've been a participant in taking from other human beings that most precious gift, and that changed me profoundly, because at the time there was anger and rage and hatred, but then after a while you begin to it was like I was proud of them. I was proud of them. I didn't necessarily love them, but I was proud of them because they kept coming. They kept coming. And guess what? Now the Iraqis keep coming, and they keep coming, and they will not stop. And guess what? You step into Afghanistan and see what they keep doing. They keep coming because they're not a nation like you understand a nation. They're tribes of people.
Right.
And they keep coming. And then you step into Iran.
Well, where Iraq and Afghanistan are concerned, Bob, they have no choice. You know, they have no choice but to keep coming. They've got to keep coming. It's their home. It's their land. They can't stop. If they stop, they will die.
Yes.
And their future will die with them. Their children will die. Their grandchildren, children unborn will die.
Bob, now step into Iran, and you and every American on this continent that calls themselves a U.S. citizen will join their fate, because Iran will, their people are as nationalistic as you are.
Sure.
And they are not Arabs. They are Persians.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, there's a lot of strife and tension between true Arabic people and the people of Iran.
Now, if you want to get into some really esoterical stuff, or what is it, esoterical?
Yeah, esoteric.
Yeah, esoterical stuff. Now we can go back and look at the quatrains of Nostradamus, and he predicted that out of Greater Persia, right?
Yeah.
Would come this person, or this that would regenerate the generals of Hannibal.
Yeah, there is something in there about that, isn't there?
Yeah, that these people would be the beginning of the end, and that in this that people would end up eating people, and that's what got me about you. The first time I ever heard you, you were talking about going out and and setting up in a tree stand and using a call, and out would come a nice juicy fat pig looking, and then you would cook them and boil them and fry them, whatever.
I remember
that. I remember that that was the thing that really sparked me about it. It made me think that Bob Kincaid has an inkling of a piece of the puzzle, because I don't have, I've just seen kind of this great mosaic, and I look out here and I see all kinds of wonderful things, and then I see these little pieces that are missing, okay? And mm-hmm. most of those pieces are in me. They're not in individuals like George Bush or this Dubai thing with the ports and, you know, all these intricate puzzles within puzzles within puzzles. And I'm trying to figure it out. Like I told Agnes, I'm trying to figure it out. Okay, I've been at this a good number of years trying to figure out what it is, what the whole point of the thing is. And guess what? I feel confused and lost and at times
it'll make you feel that way.
Muddled.
Yeah. And there's no way. I mean, I don't know that there are any fixed pat answers, but the thing that makes it worthwhile is for you and so many other friends of this program, you're at least looking, you're at least trying,
no.
you're examining, you are you're reaching for an answer.
Key, Bob,
you got it?
I found the key.
Okay.
It was in Andrew's voice and in your voice and in Agnes's voice. It is love. It is the love of others. It's the love. It's the caring. It's the sharing. It's the giving. It is that simple. It's just, if I love my neighbor as I love myself, okay?
Then you can change the world.
I don't only love my neighbor. I love all my brothers and sisters.
Yeah, it's really not as complex as some would have us believe, is it?
It is that simple thing. And guess who gave us that key?
Well,
that key was given a long, long time ago.
Yeah, well, a couple of thousand years ago, Yeshua.
By Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Bob, we got to get out of here.
I know. I'm
right.
Sorry.
That's all right. But we just got to go.
You,
we love you too,
I
man.
I love Agnes and I love your children. I haven't met them, but I've seen a couple of them. And that girl, she is stunning.
They all are. They all are.
They're beautiful. And so are you and Agnes.
You take care,
and
Bob.
I don't care if you're a food blister like me.
Or later.
Bruce.
All right. Later, Bob.
All right.
See you.
Take care. And
thanks.
I love you, your family, and all my brothers. I mean, even Jim. Get in the hook, Jim. Give up the selfishness and join us. Come on. Jim, come on back.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Nothing.
See you later, Bob.
She's got the skillet out. We gotta go. This is Head On. We'll be back for the third hour. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, let's start off hour three with a few emails. From Quincy, writing from Central Texas, a thought came to me about this port deal. Going back in time, and this is a great point, too. Going back in time, remember 30 years ago when the wrong-wingers, as I call them, used to gripe and moan about the United Nations, in particular about our troops being under UN or foreign control? Oh, God, I remember that. I remember that so well. The UN being under foreign control. Even, and, you know, they do it up to this day. Yeah, that's true, Quincy. Fast forward to now and think about this. These same wrong-wingers now want to turn over or sell our ports and maybe other things these secretive folks are doing we don't know about. I don't know if this is a valid issue, yes it is, to bring up, but it is so hypocritical that these people that wouldn't want our armed forces under foreigners or the UN, but want to trust our port security to foreigners? And also, it's not racism. After all, would you want your local police or sheriff run by foreigners? You know, when that day comes, that's an occupation, isn't it? What? That's, I mean, there are so many wrong things about the ports deal. Thank you so much, Quincy. That, my God. We are, this is a concession. This is a conciliation. This is permitting the occupant. There's your new frame. There's your new mem. This is a matter of conceding the occupation of our ports. Yeah? Yeah. Just a thought. I'm trying to put this out over the blogs. Do it. This is great stuff. And then as a note, I've been listening to your program for over a year and been patient through the drought when you weren't on and glad to have you back on again. I listen to you, Mike Malloy, Ed Schultz, and hope to be listening to Guy James in Florida again. You will be. Guy is on the way back and going as fast as he can to get back on the air. You four guys make my day when I listen because you don't cut these wrong-wingers any slack and slam them down in their tracks and are not soft on them like the rest of the other talk show hosts. Do you know it, Jerry Springer? Keep up the good fight, and I wish you and your family well, and I especially enjoyed the Christmas broadcast last year. That's it. You know, we'll do that again next year. It's going to be fun to just sort of hear how the kids grow. And from our pal Sue on Big Coal River, besides the article below, there was an article in the Gazette today saying by 2008, veterans' benefits will be cut. Bush is always praising the soldiers, and this is how he repays their sacrifice, lost arms, legs, whatever, etc. Cut their benefits. And, yeah, this is the first paragraph of the story. President George W. Bush, hit by polls showing America's support for the Iraq War at an all-time low, denied on Tuesday that Iraq was sliding into civil war despite the worst sectarian strife since a U.S. invasion. The decline in Bush's public approval ratings came as he told Iraqis they faced a choice between, quote, chaos or unity. Chaos or unity? Amid violence that has dented U.S. hopes for the stability needed to pave the way for a U.S. troop withdrawal. And that first part that Sue mentioned is absolutely true, because there are budget cuts inside the Bush budget for Veterans Administration health benefits. And this isn't one of those blue smoke and mirrors things where, well, it's not, it's just that the budget's not growing at the same rate. It's not really a cut. They're still getting more money. Nuh-uh. Because what is predicated inside the Bush budget is that, you know, despite the fact that veterans' health care has been going up, 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 well, you know, this is miracle math made easy for the right-wingers. Because in 2008, the Bush administration posits that veterans' medical benefits will suddenly start becoming cheaper. Nah, no kidding. Really. I mean, it's out there. Yeah. That it's going to be, you know, they're going to go up 2006. They're going to go up in 2007. And then 2008, a miracle happens and health care starts coming down. Now, I know they're, Bob, maybe they know something that, no, they don't. This is the blue smoke and mirrors. This is the con job. This is the crap. Okay. This is the rotten stuff that they want to do to the people who are coming home and going to struggle for the rest of their lives with the consequences of what has been done to them and frankly done by them. God almighty. And And, well, I was going to read an email from CB, but CB is on the phone with us. Hey, CB, you're head on.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
It sounds kind of fuzzy. I could have tried to call like 8 times.
Oh, no.
Well, I think the NSA, Agent Fred, is low on the uptake.
Yeah, pulling a little overtime tonight.
Yeah. I'm horrified about the labeling thing. Tell me that's not so, all right? I just can't stand that one.
No, sorry, it's so.
No.
It's true, CB.
No, all right, so then when you go to the grocery store and you find prepared food items that are not labeled what's in there,
mm-hmm.
you just don't buy them.
You take it on faith.
You know they don't want you to know.
Yeah, you take it on faith.
That means they want to hurt you.
Well, it means it's a faith-based society, and, you know, that extra little bit of ink in the label costs an extra one millionth of a penny, and, you know, by the time you multiply that out and get it over to the CPA dude who gets it over to the corporate dude, they find out that, you know, that's an extra penny on every share.
Well,
I mean, that's the way they calculate this crap, and it is true. I've seen the articles, organicconsumers.org, something like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but, yeah, it is. They want to bring an end to food labeling, you know, because
there's a whole bunch of people who are very sensitive to a lot of ingredients, and there are people who are outright allergic, as in going into anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, will
if
die.
They consume the wrong thing.
Yeah,
and that can't happen. That's God.
But I mean,
the underlying thread of all the stuff we've been talking about for a really long time is there is no tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's acting as if there is no tomorrow. The one thing that the big question I have is if there is no tomorrow, then why is it so important to make all these bazillions of dollars in profits?
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
But the thing, okay, here's the answer, CB. There's no tomorrow for us.
Well,
I mean, these clowns, these corporatists, they know there's a tomorrow for them. You know, it's the bubble city in the distance that you saw, you know, in Logan's Run. That's what they've got predicated for themselves. And, you know, you and me, we're Peter Ustinov living with the cats in the ruins of the United States Capitol. I mean, I honestly believe that's what, you know, look at the corporate polluters. You know, Bob in North Dakota made mention of what Brian Schweitzer, ostensibly a Democrat, no less, wants to do to Montana. You know, he wants to mine one third of that entire state, the eastern third of Montana. He wants to just dig the coal out of the ground. And he says that that's going to make us free of the evils of foreign oil. You know, and we know that's a bunch of hooey. But you know what? Those polluters, the people that really, really want that stuff, CB, they have their hooks into the religion industry, too. Because just as there were paid-off preachers during the birth of the labor movement who would stand in the pulpit and say that anybody who joined a union was, a servant of Satan, so, too, that you've got these religion industrialists now who will take the corporate line from the corporate pollution lobby, and they're out there preaching sermons that environmentalism is Satanism because, and this is the line, I kid you not, this is the line, they're worshiping the creation and not the creator. I know. I know, it's just where, you know, you just want to, when you hear that kind of stuff, you want to make sure that you're not near anything solid because you just want to take your little noggin and go whack right into the door, you know, hoping that you'll wake up.
Well, I submit that we love it so much because it did create us.
Yeah, for good reason.
It is us, you know, that God.
I know.
Well, I'm not getting over this labeling thing. I think it's just that you just
go out there
in the middle of my poor feverish forehead with that one.
Look up organic consumers. I'm sure somebody out there is probably emailing me a link right now, and I'll shoot it off to you as soon as I get an opportunity. But yeah, the goal is to end decades of food labeling regulations because that's their religion, CB. Everywhere that the government has stepped in and tried to make your life a little safer, make your life a little more decent, a little more secure, they want to destroy it.
everywhere your government has stepped in to try and save you from these very people, they're trying to undo it.
Yeah, and the right wing complains, yeah, I don't need government to save me from myself. No, you don't need government to save you from yourself. You need government to save you from the people who want to kill you.
Well, what I'm saying is that obviously the right wingers are the people that our government has been protecting us against all this time. And,
well, that's about the size of it.
They went and rigged themselves an election so they could stop that action.
You know, I mean, it could be Campbell's soup. Now with cyanide, you know, they don't have to put it on there now. You know,
well,
and all the horror stories, the 60 Minute stuff, the yellow, the muckraking journalism, the rat poo in the hot dogs. I mean, there are federal standards out there that say, you know, you can have this much vermin feces in meat products. I'm not kidding. It's gross.
Yeah.
I had a story a year and a half or so ago about rocket fuel. They tested lactating mothers in like New Jersey and Virginia and Ohio, and there were chemical compounds in their breast milk that were components of rocket fuel, because rocket fuel seeps into the groundwater in the great agrarian, highly irrigated West, where the huge lettuce farms and stuff are. That's where they traced it to. The lettuce in your hamburgers, rocket fuel, because this sucks up all that stuff, because lettuce is very, well, you know all about this.
I have actually been a lettuce grower in my life.
Well, then you know
organic lettuce.
Yeah, but you know how water intensive that is.
Right. Yes, I certainly do.
And so you get that that polluted, poisoned, rocket fuel laden water that's coming out of the defense industry, you know, Rocky Flats and all of that kind of stuff, Area 51, what have you. And it goes into the irrigation water. It goes to grow the lettuce. Mommy eats a bacon lettuce and tomato sandwich, and the next thing you know, she's got baby on the breast, and baby's getting a little rocket fuel.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Stubby and his followers were nursed on rocket fuel.
Well, you know, and I mean, when it comes down to George, I think he probably huffed a little along the way, too.
Yeah. And you keep mentioning, well, not you per se, a bunch of people keep mentioning that Laura Bush offed one of her boyfriends.
Oh, yeah.
That I never heard that one.
Oh, did you miss that one?
It's not like Hillary murdering.
No, this isn't where Dan Burton goes out in the backyard in Indiana and shoots a watermelon to prove that Hillary did in Vince Foster. No, this isn't that.
Oh, good.
No, this is. I guess she was a teenager. She was in later years in high school, and she had a falling out with her beau at the time. And plowed right through him at an intersection and killed him deader than a tree stump.
Wow. George really must have been drunk then.
Well, no.
Don't you think he'd have steered clear of her?
No, this was pre-George. No, he didn't. They didn't get together until after her four-year stint as Dimebag Laura at SMU. Yeah, it's all documented. Her maiden name was Laura Welch. And she killed that, just T-boned him. I think he was like in one of those little Corvairs or something, and she was in the family lead sled, and whoosh, right through the stop sign, dead.
Well,
they're killers from top to bottom, CB. I mean, that's people, you know, Bob, that's not fair.
Bob, she got failure right away. That's
yeah, she, they do. That's what they do. And if it's not fair to talk about the facts, then what the hell is fair, you know, CB?
Yeah. Well, it's not fair not to talk about the facts.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Ann Coulter talking about the Clintons decorating and she put it out there as fact.
Speaking of not facts, right?
Yeah, but she put it out there as fact that Hillary and Bill decorated their Christmas tree for little Chelsea, that they decorated their Christmas tree with condoms one year.
Oh, God.
I mean, I remember the stuff about, you know, Drudge ran with it, said it was part of the New York Times. Bill Clinton has a Negro love child by a crack whore prostitute in Arkansas.
Have you gone over to watch The Power of Nightmares yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nightmarish.
And so was it right-wing hate radio that, I guess Fox News has been happening a lot longer than I know. I'm wondering how they managed to get so many people on board so quickly and so, you know, so well trained. So
that's the thing that the left doesn't understand yet, CB. This has been a long time coming. This is something that started building November the 10th, 1964. You know, when Barry Goldwater got buried. And they swore never again, and they passed it from generation, yea, verily, unto generation. And so by the time, if you can go and do some online research, we were talking about Flush Flemball earlier, find out about what his rise to power was. I mean, this is a guy who was a second-rate disc jockey in Pittsburgh, got thrown out of that business, wound up more or less selling hot dogs for the Kansas City Royals, goes to Anaheim, California or somewhere thereabouts, and starts doing talk radio, and then gets taken under the wing of a very well-heeled gay conservative man who teaches him how to, well, it's like something out of My Fair Lady, out of walk and talk and act just like a blooming lady. literally taught Flush Flemball how to dress, how to speak, how to do public appearances.
Queer eye for the straight guy.
It was for the conservative guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But by the time that was happening, there were think tanks and foundations that had been raking in money for years and years and years. And all it needed was the spark. And frankly, where talk radio is concerned, he was that spark. And they rallied around him, and they made him a fabulously wealthy man. And from his success, they were able to spin off the Hannitys and the O'Reillys and the Neil Bortzes and the Michael Savages and the Laura Ingram and, you know, on and on, and, you know, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, that idiot. But that's how it all happened. Yeah, the seeds of Fox have been around for literally generations. You know, these were the people who were John Birchers 40 years ago listening to the Alan Stang report. You know, I'm Alan Stang. Think about it. You know, complaining about communists in the UN. You know, what our emailer Quincy from Central Texas was talking about 30 years ago. Yeah, they were screaming, you know, get us out of the UN. It's a communist infiltrated organization. And Quincy's not kidding.
I'm so weird.
No, you're not.
No, I really am weird because, things that I've thought were great from the get, you know, other people are out there saying, you know, communists, blah, blah, blah. I mean, immediately as I started knowing about the UN, I thought, this is great. You know, this is great.
Yeah.
Everybody on the planet can get together and, have powwows about how to live together, you know, how to,
mm-hmm.
no more war kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, that was the first thing it meant to me, and how could that be disagreeable to anyone?
Well, but the thing is, communism, anti-communism, it's an industry. It is literally an industry, just like the people who want to take away a woman's right. It's not a woman's right to choose. It's a woman's right to go to the daggum doctor. You know, there are people who will prey on the ignorance and fears of members of this society and make a fortune doing it. That's why I say that the Republicans, when the rubber meets the road, the Republicans will never outlaw abortion because they will lose a multi-billion dollar fundraising base if they do, because then all the little anti-abortion weirdos will go back to their little snake handling churches and never be heard from again.
Well,
but no, you're not weird. The idea of a United Nations is brilliant. If after the First World War, the League of Nations had been put together on rational, with rational thought, and somebody had paid a little bit more attention to Woodrow Wilson and his 14 points, you know, Clemenceau and Lloyd George making fun of his, God Almighty only had 10, and the United States Senate had ratified the League of Nations, Hitler might not have happened. Yeah. And, you know, I was talking earlier, you know, everything the conservatives can't talk about, CB, this business, the ports deal, the stuff that's making their little heads just expand and explode. I got an email today from one of these right-wing think tanks talking about how, you know, no, it wasn't about the Dubai ports deal. It was about John Bolton. You know, that creepy old dude with the porn mustache that's our UN ambassador, about how he is decrying the flagrant sex at the UN.
The flagrant sex at the UN?
My hand to God. That's where these people are, CB.
Okay. Yeah, it's horrifying.
I love making you laugh.
I'm having one of those hysterics, as in it's so awful, you start laughing kind of thing. I mean, has something ever been struck you so terribly?
Oh yeah,
that you start laughing.
Yeah,
actually in agony.
I've got a really shameful story that I will never tell on the air. That's exactly that.
Oh, you tease! You say that on the air, so we all want to hear it.
Yeah, I know, but I ain't gonna do it.
I know about that. Okay, well...
Yeah, here it is. I had to run to my trash bin. I got to share this with you, CB.
All right, I'm listening.
Okay, subject, Bolton critical of UN sex and graft scandals.
Well, who's doing who, then?
UN Ambassador John Bolton criticizes the United Nations for rampant graft by insiders and sex scandals involving UN peacekeepers.
You mean that the peacekeeping forces that they have across the globe are falling in love with each other or whatever?
I don't know.
Right.
Kind of gives a whole new meaning to peacekeeper, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Make love, not war. Somebody's listening.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Yeah, that's where they are. You know, they can't talk. They can't talk about the ports. They can't talk about the fact that we are literally doing a whole Sudetenland thing with Baltimore, Philly, Newark, New York, Houston, Corpus Christi, and New Orleans and Miami. They can't be bothered to talk about that.
You know,
they're having sex at the UN. Did you know that? The flag is falling. God.
It occurs to me that I did know that our ports were owned by other countries, companies, that you know, maybe like 3 to 5 years ago or something, I was reading something about shipbuilding or something like that, and incidental to that was finding out that some other country owned our ports or that port or whatever it was in the article. That just came back to me earlier. And that, you know, I kind of crunched my forehead, you know, crinkled that up when I read it to begin with, but it didn't really stick. I just thought, what? What, somebody else owns our port? Or, you know, I don't get this.
Yeah.
But now everybody's, of course, blowing out because it's Dubai. But personally, I don't think we have any more or any less to worry about with Dubai owning them. I don't want them to own them. I want us to own them.
Right.
But I don't think they're any more or less of a threat to us.
Yeah, I don't want anybody but Americans to own American port operations. It's not racist. It's not anti-Arabic or anything like that. Part of it is in the way that they've got it set up, CB. I don't know if you've seen this one go across yet or not, but it is ordinary in the course of business under the law of the nation that when you sell an American asset to a foreign investor, you require them to keep paperwork, to keep all their documents, at a facility inside the U.S.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not in this deal. The Bush administration has actively waived the document record-keeping requirement for Dubai Ports World. They can keep them offshore, and thereby no court of competent jurisdiction anywhere in the United States can enter an order compelling Dubai Ports World to produce documents.
Well, and that's part of why I don't think that, you know, we all hear that W didn't know about it before it, you know, turned into an issue, and same thing with Remy and blah, 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 blah. I think that's a lie.
Well,
they all knew plenty about it, and, you know, they just felt it.
Well,
was
I just want. Well, on the other side, yeah, on the other side of that, CB, I wonder if maybe they've gotten to the point where they don't feel like they got to tell George anything. They got all 4 feet in the trough.
Well, yeah,
they'll tell him what he needs to know.
It's his family that's.
Well, sure, the Carlisle group's in.
You know. And, you know, it's my position that Dubai helped him out on the 9/11 thing. You know?
Oh, sure.
It wasn't that they were the perpetrators. They were more like the enablers.
Yeah.
But,
Well, I mean, there are a bunch of things wrong with this. When I found out listening to All Things Reconsidered Sunday night with our buddy Bruce Birch, when I heard his caller from Kentucky call in and talk about the fact that the United Arab Emirates is still actively involved in the African slave trade. You know, that was one of those rip at the clothes, tear at the hair, and run around the yard and dip your head in the bucket of lie kind of moments too.
Yeah, that
the slave trade.
I heard you mention that the other night, and I'm like, what, slaves?
Yeah, the Arab world
2006?
Is still. Yeah, the Arab world is still actively stealing human beings in Africa and taking them places and telling them that they are now owned by someone else. I've got a very good friend whose daughter is a highly paid nurse in L.A.
Yeah.
And she recently had a one of those in-house nursing gigs where you take, you know, what do they call that, Agnes? When you're doing nursing work inside somebody's house.
Private duty.
Yeah, private duty nursing. Yeah. And the woman that she was doing private duty nursing for had a female. She was a Saudi. And she was like, you know, exalted mucky muck royalty Saudi. And she had a female slave.
Well, number one, that's the only way you can be a highly paid nurse in California. And number two, a female slave in the United States?
Yep. Because, well, you know, I mean, if the Saudis want to do it, we'll let the Saudis do it. Right up to and including the keeping of body servants, slaves. You know, you can't walk out the door because I own your hide.
Well, you know, I spent one of the days this weekend watching the Black State of the Union thing on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like 9 hours of all talking about the state of the Black Union. And
yeah.
I was just sort of listening to the first part, which was all about the financial stuff, which you poked a hole in last night, and I don't want to go into that. The
I
second
understand.
Part of it was they had some of my favorite orators of all time, you know, Harry Belafonte, Reverend Al, and Louis Farrakhan, all three of them. They all disagree with each other, but I love them all three. I went crazy listening to that. It's part two. It's in three blocks on their video archive.
Right, it's in the video archives,
and the part two just rocks. It just rocks. It's really, really good.
Well, I'm gonna go and have a look at it. We've been having some technical difficulties here in the studio, so
tell me about it. I haven't been able to get through to you all night.
Oh well, but you're here now, and we're so glad of it.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and take our break. Thanks so much, CB, and hang in there. God, it's great hearing from you. I always enjoy our conversation so very much.
Thank you, Bob.
You take care.
Good night.
Bye now. And our bottom of the hour break a little bit late, but hey, we are beholden to no format. The format we are beholden to is the format that you and I, we, us, create night by night, hour by hour. Yeah, the cat's in the studio. Let me give old. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Down from Yellow Mountain. dark, flat land she rides. On a pony she named Wildfire. With a whirlwind by her side. On a cold Nebraska night. They say she died one winter when there came a killing frost, and the pony she named Wildfire busted down its stall. In a blizzard he was lost.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, do they, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, you know, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
Work the
shoe
leather.
We're a nice little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
I can tolerate this song. It's that Wildfire thing that just drives me absolutely batty insane. One night there came a killing frost. No. One winter there came a killing frost. You know, I think it was Dave Barry, the columnist, who said it best. Anyone who gets lost in a killing frost would get lost on the 4th of July.
That was my horse's name.
Well, I'm sorry. That just, you know, that song makes me crazy. All right. Some things to clear up, or some things to clear out as we cruise downhill toward the end of the program, 20 minutes before the hour. Remember Andrea Yates? Of course you do. She's the one who drowned all of her children. because Jesus told her to, remember? She got a new trial. Yeah, she got a new trial because it turned out that her expert was a perjurer. Her forensic psychiatrist who testified that an episode of television's Law and Order series about a woman with postpartum depression drowning her children had aired shortly before the Yates children died. There was only one problem with that defense. The Law and Order episode was never aired. It didn't made up stuff, lying, perjury. And the thing is set to go to trial, here in early March. The jury rejected her original insanity defense and recommended life in prison for the drowning of three of her five children. They were 7, 5, and 6 months old when she drowned them. And yet, Texas, death penalty capital of the world, and I'm understand, I am dead set against the death penalty in all of it, virtually all of its forms. They couldn't find it in them to pursue the death penalty against this woman, you know, because she was a Christian, a so-called Christian. She was crazier than a sprayed roach, but that's what comes. Look, when you're a fundamentalist so-called Christian, you're crazy. Not a little bit, a whole bunch crazy. You have to believe 19 insane things before you can get out of bed in the morning. You see the sunrise and you think, well, you know, Joshua made it, or Elijah, or some dude made that thing stand still in the sky. Thereby not just, you know, never mind the sun standing still in the sky part, but, you know, if you get behind that, you got to realize that means that the sun revolves around the earth, and ow, my head's beginning to hurt. Yeah. I mean, these were fundy people, hooked up with one of these cults of personality. I think, if I recall correctly, the husband wouldn't allow her to use birth control. Oh, look, it's South Dakota again, where the husbands own the wives.
Or medication for mental illness.
She was just, you know, roses are red, violets are blue, I'm schizophrenic and so am I. You know, she was on incredibly powerful, you know, just horse-dropping medication.
And he refused to take it.
And she has rejected a plea deal. They would give her 35 years in prison. Not the death penalty. Nope. When she got out 35 years later, her children would have been... Oh, God, it's not even worth contemplating. So, we'll keep an eye on that. But, yeah, if you're crazy, but you know, a regular attendee of church, you can even kill children and not get the death penalty. Then there's, you know, this is... These have to, somebody needs to hear these stories, because you know what? The children involved deserve to be remembered. Ricky Holland. It was 7 years old. You'll notice, yeah, I'm using the past tense. Ricky Holland is dead. His biological parents were accused of neglecting him because they smoked marijuana. So a judge took Ricky away from them and gave them to adoptive parents. They're now charged with murdering him. The husband says that his wife bashed the little fellow's brains in with a hammer, and she said, no, I didn't, he did. They said that he ran away, little Ricky Holland. They found him in a roadside ditch late in January, 7 months after he went missing. Preliminary autopsy showed that his elbow, shoulder blade, nose, and upper jaw were broken at or near the time of his death. Tim Holland, 36, told detectives that his wife struck Ricky twice in the head with a hammer, but Lisa Holland, 34, said her husband killed him. You know, we must preserve the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, mustn't we? Mustn't we?
You know, kill them both.
They became his foster parents, the Hollands did, in 2000. They adopted him in 2003. When he was 3 years old, his biological mother, Casey Gann, told state officials that she was homeless, jobless, and she wanted to put Ricky in foster care for a little bit till she could get on her feet and give him a home. She was 16 when Ricky was born in California. Ricky Gann was imprisoned in California because he smuggled the demon weed. He brought 40 pounds of marijuana across the Mexican border. But he traveled all the way to Michigan and lived in his car to be near where his son was. The Gans are divorced. They each argued for custody of Ricky when the state wanted to end their parental rights. Judge Chad Schmucker, I can't make this stuff up, Judge Chad Schmucker agreed with a state foster care worker and Ricky's court-appointed attorney that the boy's best interest would not be served by living with either biological parent. I think termination is the only way to give Ricky an opportunity to have a real future, to have a normal childhood, to do well in school, to thrive, Judge Schmucker said. I think Ricky needs this. Those are quotes. No kidding. The detectives that looked into this case found out that the Hollands, the adoptive parents, brought little Ricky to school on a leash. On a leash. They put him in diapers when he was too old to wear them. And they gave him carrot sandwiches for lunch because they knew that the little fella hated carrots. He had unexplained bruises and marks consistent with abuse, authorities said. Despite complaints of abuse to officials, the Hollands retained custody of Ricky and, here's the bonus, 4 younger children. The Hollands moved from Jackson, Michigan to nearby Williamston last April. Former neighbors say they never saw Ricky and his siblings play outside. When the family moved away, they left a baby walker on their lawn for anyone to pick up. I just thought that was wonderful of them, said Pam Merrill. Then to find out they do something like that, you would just never thought it. Never. You know what's missing in here? Is the part where they talk about the Hollands were so regular in their church attendance. Because I'm sure they were. Because when you go in to do this foster care adoption thing, by golly, you got to be a real live there every time the doors open, you know, church going. Judge Chad Schmucker. You know, judges make mistakes. Sure they do. But, you know, when a guy drives from California to Michigan and lives in his car just to be near his son, that says something. And of course, he was a bad parent because, why? Oh, yeah. Because of a plant. A plant. And then, at least this kid's not dead. There's Judge Punch. A Texas woman alleges on her blog that her membership of a satirical religious group with very liberal views on sexuality has led to a court forbidding her to have any form of contact with her son. Welcome to Bushmerica. There's a million, you know, there are a million stories in the Naked City. Yeah, there are. There's all kinds of religious insanity. The case began in 1997 when Rachel Knight and her son, Cole Jerry, moved to Texas to be with her fiancé, Steve Bevilacqua. On December 22, 2005, without informing Rachel, Jeff Jerry, who was the boy's natural father, went to the Orleans County Courthouse and presented Judge Punch with a series of allegations about not being able to contact Rachel and needing an order of temporary sole custody in order to prevent Cole from being kidnapped. Then on February 3, 2006, Judge Punch heard testimony in the case. Jeff Jerry entered into evidence 16 exhibits from the Internet. Somebody didn't have a lawyer. That's hearsay. 16 exhibits from the Internet, 12 of which are photographs of the subgenius. Now, you've all heard of the Church of the Subgenius. Devo. It was Devo was involved with it. It's a lark. It's a joke. But the child was in none of the pictures, but Rachel was depicted in the photos, often wearing skimpy costumes. Well, let's cut to the chase. Judge Punch lost his temper completely and began to shout abuse at Rachel, calling her a pervert, mentally ill, lying, and a participant in sex orgies. Ordered Rachel to have absolutely no contact with her son, not even in writing, because he felt the pictures of the performance art from the Church of the Subgenius were evidence enough to suspect severe mental illness. And the Bevilacquas are begging for donations to launch an appeal. This is that's creeping fascism. That's absolutely creeping fascism. Little boys, a little boy taken away from his parents because they weren't quite good enough to suit some judge who, you know, goes home at the end of the day and, you know, snorts down a bottle of this or a handful of that. Or shows up in, or has a particular taste for religious insanity, one, you know, whatever. And thinks that a dude who carried some weed across the Mexican border is by definition unfit to be a father. America's breaking my heart. Because, you know, these aren't isolated incidents. These aren't, oh, well, you know, you're going to have that once in a while. It happens every day across America. I remember the story from a year and a half ago when a woman, you know, she didn't speak Spanish. She spoke one of those Native American languages that are still extant in Mexico. A judge in Tennessee took her child away from her because she didn't speak English. And said she was a bad example for him, or her, I can't remember which. There are thousands of these stories. And they're perpetrated in places and by people whom we hold up to be superior exemplars of our societal mores. And they... with the gavel case closed, and little Ricky Holland is found in a ditch 10 months later with his brains bashed in. Oh, Judge Schmucker. What kind of hell waits for you, Buster? And how dare you ever sit in judgment of another human being so long as you live? That's the show tonight. I've certainly enjoyed being with you. I hope you'll join us tomorrow night. A program reminder, author Jeff Biggers will be joining us about 15 minutes into the program to discuss his wonderful, wonderful book, The United States of Appalachia. If you've looked into it, if you've read it at all, if you've got any questions, he'll be there. He'll be happy to answer them. So I hope you will join us. The show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor, engineered by Randy Kerbway. The stream, of course, is maintained by our good friend Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. He also manages the archives of this and a great number of other wonderful liberal programs, not the least of which include our sister programs here at the Head On Radio Network, Fourth Estate Radio, and All Things Reconsidered. Ben has a fundraiser going on. Do the right thing. And, of course, the program, this program, Head On, is brought to you every night through the good offices and the goodly efforts and the commitment to freedom of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Do please remember that they are building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.